You're listening to Business Stories with Ryan Arcaracci, where I speak to business professionals from all walks of life. Thanks for listening, and let's get to it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Business Stories with Ryan Arcaracci podcast. And I'm extremely excited about this episode because I'm talking to somebody who does something similar to me. We talk about achievement. We talk to business owners. We sometimes talk to, you know, celebrities and musicians and all kinds of people. My guest today is Olivia Atkin with the Achieving Success podcast. Look her up. She has a phenomenal background as a former professional athlete. You were a swimmer, right, Olivia? And now you're into podcasting, you have your business, you're consulting, and you did a TEDx talk, which is pretty cool. So thank you for being here, Olivia. Let's start off. Like, tell us about your background and kind of how you came into this role of being sort of an achievement sort of mentor.
Of course, and thank you for having me on. And so for me, my journey really started on that aspect of swimming. And I was training for the Junior Olympics when I was 9 years old, competing against 15, 18 year olds. And it all came to a halt for me when I was diagnosed with epilepsy. So that was my first real taste at a very young age that, like, you have to fight for what you want in this life, and things are really going to throw you those curveballs. And from there, it was, for a while, fight or flight, right? I had a rare form of epilepsy, so there was a lot of unknown about it. It is the most common neurological disease in the world, but the thing that gets spoken about the least and has the least amount of knowledge on, and shared within communities. So for me, it was really about navigating that at 9 years old, getting to a point where I, you know, didn't have seizures anymore. And luckily that happened when I was in middle school. Mm-hmm. And then when I transitioned into high school, my elementary school gym teacher actually reached out to me and he was like, listen, I know you're not doing sports anymore and this and that, but would you be interested in managing the high school wrestling team? I'm transitioning to be the gym teacher at your high school and I'm managing the wrestling team and we're looking for a manager. Would you want to do it? And so I agreed. It was also around the same time, you know, 2 years into my high school experience, I went back and I started diving, which I ended up setting the state record in diving, coaching diving. And by the time I graduated high school, I was managing 4 men's sports teams and really seeing it. And I'd been asked by Quinnipiac University, where I got accepted, if I would manage 2 of their D1 hockey programs. So my life really took a turn of understanding not just what it's like getting something unexpectedly that you're working very hard on taken away, not by choice, but I understood at that point leaving a sport by choice. And through all the times I've worked in sports and then in college, I ended up working for the New York Giants. And it started off as an internship and transitioned into a, you know, regular job. And I ended up working with the New York Giants for 6 years. I ended up managing athletes through that time and really connecting with them. And for me, it was always having the discussion with my athletes, not just about what's going on today, but having the conversation, if it all ended tomorrow, what are things we could be doing today together to set you up for the success so you don't have that gap? You're not feeling that loss. So you're also prepared for whatever your next career move you want it to be. And for me, that was something that I was like, listen, I've been there. I've experienced it, even though it was at a different, very young age. And I felt it in 2 different capacities. And so I was able to relate with it on a very different level than other people that might just be saying to you, hey, think about what that next move is going to be, right?
Yeah.
And so for me, after that, and during 2019, I went and started working for Lockheed Martin, where I, at this point, had a degree or certification in every business area. I'd worked in professional sports. I've worked in different capacities. And I also sit on the board of different big professional organizations. So even though I was the new person coming in, I was having conversations about long-term career growth with people 10 years higher in job, you know, better see, if you want to call it, in their roles. And I was going, okay, but what are we doing to prepare everyone around us for that transition? If you move jobs, if you do this, how are we being prepared? And it led me to write the book, Achieving Success in Career Development, that covers everything from resumes and cover letters to different professional organizations that are out there and teaching career development. And through that experience, my publishing company that had approached me to write this book said, have you ever thought about doing a podcast? You have all this different expertise. You can really engage, share information. And I was like, no. And when I started diving into creating this podcast, I really sat down and thought, what is the conversation so many people, no matter the stages are in life, there's misconceptions, or we're not really showing what it's fully like and having that understanding. And it was this idea of achieving success and understanding it can shift. It doesn't have to be the things society has set up for us to tell us, you know, go to college, get that job, you'll make all this money, or what some colleges are portraying as the path to go. It can change, like my career has done a few times. It can help elevate you, and setting yourself up so that when you decide to pivot is just as important as the role you're going in now. And so starting my podcast, that was the focus. And then through that came my speaking and consulting, and really this idea of helping others figure out what success means and looks like to them personally and professionally, and things they could do to really elevate their game, and in the short term and long term.
So I got to ask you this when it comes to that, because you've seen competitors from when you were in high school all the way up into adulthood, even being a competitor yourself. What is the commonality you see with those that are separate from the herd that really take it to the next level? Because we all know in business and in life and in sports, there's a one in a thousand or a million Michael Jordans, right? Or one in a million Bruce Lees, or you name it, right? What are you seeing as a common characteristic around the people you've coached or you've talked to, or a few characteristics that really separate them from the herd? And how do others work and strive towards that?
So there are a few things, and I like how you said I could mention a few things, because I definitely have a few that I think, no matter the industry I've been in, I've noticed those people who really are growing and succeeding, and what that looks like for them.
Right.
Two is, one, they're the ones who are thinking outside the box. They're not just there checking off the boxes. Okay, I got to do this task. It's okay, if I don't understand why this task is getting done this way, let me ask the question. Let me see if there's a different thing I could do to improve the outcome of the task, to improve how quickly it could get done. Let me ask the question. The second thing is asking questions when you don't know what the right question is to ask, or you don't know the information yourself.
Right.
I think so many of us are scared, especially in today's society, to raise your hand and go, okay, I don't understand this. Can you clarify this? Especially as a business owner, because you're looked at as the leader.
Yeah.
And so, but as that business owner, you should want to, you know, bring on people who do really well and in their roles and in their functions, but you should also want to still understand what the expectation is, what they do every day. If there's new things you can learn, to have the conversation with them of like, hey, maybe this is what we should implement. What do you think about this? You should still be aware of it, right? The third thing is, when it comes to leading versus managing, just because you're in a management position does not mean you're a leader.
Right.
So for me, a big thing about leading is being able to stand next to the people I work with. You're standing alongside of them. So having transparent conversations with your team, asking them what you could do better. I work with so many business owners, employees, people who want to get on podcasts, right? Or have their own show, and I'll do a podcast audit. And I'm that fresh set of eyes who understands the industry, who understands a lot of different aspects of the back end. And I come to them with their audit, and we'll use podcasting as the example. And then I get pushback of like, well, that's not really what it is. And I'm like, well, from someone who doesn't know, you know, who's just looking at the titles of your shows, you're telling me having no consistency is okay, but why is that okay? So it's taking that critique and really sitting with it and hearing it. The people who grow and are willing to win at their craft, you know, and when we talk about achieving success, achieve their success goals, are willing to take the data, take the information they're getting, and even if they don't agree with it in the initial moments, sit down and have the conversation. And I've done that. We'll continue to use the example of a podcast audit. Is like, I've done that with the podcast audit, and I sit there, and at the end of it, when we do the call, if a client wants a call, I'll get pushback for like 10 minutes. And then I go, okay, but I'm going to ask you this question. Like, why are you looking at it this way versus that way? And by halfway through the call, now they're seeing why, because we've gotten back, we've taken away the aspect of, okay, it's push come to shove, you're hurting my feelings because I take pride in my work. It's not that you did anything wrong in what you were doing with the information you had in front of you, but now you have new information. So let's grow, let's elevate based on that information.
So do you think there's an element of admitting you don't know everything? And I think that's a lot of times what people who are striving to get better, it's the ego, right? It's like, I've been doing this for years, or I already know everything. Like, there's nothing you can't tell me I haven't heard, you know? Do you feel like that's part of it? Like, is the ego getting in the way? And then people are afraid to grow because they have too much pride. Is that a lot of it?
I think a big part of it is really, in today's society, we take social media, all this stuff, as everyone's going to see it, right? We go back 30 years and, you know, you need to pivot your website or a podcast and redo things. No one will realize because you didn't actually, like, there wasn't that aspect of it. It wasn't so easily accessible to see that you need to pivot, or, you know, something needs to change, or you need... Now they're moving you to a different department because you didn't work well with your team. You know, it catches on very quickly. And I think part of that is the sense of, well, what are others going to think of me? Yeah. Is it necessarily the ego? Sometimes that does play a role in it. But I think the biggest component is that thought of, what are others going to think? And that's what gets in the way, instead of going, okay, this is the best move to make, even though it's different and I haven't thought about it, and it will help me grow. It goes, well, but how are others going to perceive that?
Right.
And at the end of the day, when we can let go and go, no one's paying that close attention to, you know, we all have things going on, then we free ourselves up to really flourish in who we are.
So in other words, don't care what people think as much, right? Or you'll drive yourself crazy. So I got to ask you too, like, I did see you had the TEDx talk, and I always got to ask about how that came about, because I'm really curious to see how people like you get into that role, and that thing that sort of comes into your, you know, into an opportunity for you. So walk me through what happened there. How'd that work out?
So I always say the power of podcasting is more than one can ever really tell. And it really is a space of community building, relationship building, and being able to show who you are without a hard sell in any kind of way. For me, I had a different experience from a lot of people when it came to being a TEDx speaker. When I did my TEDx, I was less than a year into my business. I'd always watched TEDxes from the time I was in high school. My high school actually had a business class, and we would watch sometimes in our business classes, TEDxes.
Yeah.
So I knew about TEDx, and I was like, that's always the top caliber of professionals in their industry sharing their knowledge, this and that. And wouldn't it be really cool if I got there one day? But I never thought less than a year into my business, I'd be tapped on the shoulder to do a TEDx. And for me, it came because I actually, a few months prior, had a guest on my podcast who ended up working with TEDx as a staffer for one of the TEDxes that were going to take place. At that time, she hadn't been brought on as the branding person for this specific TEDx.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't a client, they weren't anything. And she ended up getting them as a client, and she had on her website our podcast interview mm-hmm. that I did. And she was talking about it and going, well, you can really hear my story because here's this interview I did. And through listening to it, they were like, oh, we want her on this TEDx. It was in the theme of resiliency and all these other aspects. And they're like, oh, we want her. Has she done other podcasts? Has she been on things, this and that? And that individual ended up reaching out to me and saying, hey, would you be interested in doing this TEDx? It's in Dallas. Going to be in about 8 weeks. And I was like, okay, well, I'm in the Northeast and this and that. But I was mm-hmm. like, you know what? I'll have a conversation with them. A conversation can never hurt. Give me all the information and then I can make them the decision. So 2 weeks later, and she sent me this form. She's like, hey, can you just fill this out so TEDx has this information? Then I get a email like on a Wednesday going, hey, can you do a call Friday at 7 o'clock? And I was mm-hmm. like, sure. Get on the call and they're like, so this TEDx, and it's the person who was organizing the TEDx Botham John Boulevard. And she was asking me some questions. She's like, so would you be willing to do it? And I was like, she goes, because you've already been approved. Like, you just need to say yes at this point. And And I was like, oh, so this isn't a call to like bet me or anything. Yeah. This is a call to go, so do you say yes? And it'll be in 6 weeks from now.
Yeah.
And I was like, I took a moment. I said, can I get back to you in the morning? Because in my head, I'm going, at this point, I'm in New Jersey. It's in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And, I'm still running my business. And now I have to also plan all this stuff for like being.
Yeah. There. Right.
And I sat with it and I said, this is an opportunity that's not going to come every day.
Right.
So I really got to take this and I'm going to put my all into it and we'll see what happens. And I ended up doing it, obviously, and my topic was on defeating your biggest enemy, you, and how we can all get in our own ways during moments of opportunity and success. And I talked about different points in my life, too, that I got in my own way and how myself and anyone could become the victor to their success story.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, for me, a time to really share my experiences, but also know that we're kind of like the podcast. None of us are alone in our journey.
Right.
And it really became an amazing experience. I'm still very close to most of the speakers mm-hmm. that I spoke with that day. And it all came from other people feeling connected to the work I was doing with no aspect of a return in it.
Right. That's awesome. Now, I got to ask you too. You said earlier you were 9 years old, but you were athletic and you were swimming and stuff, and then you had to deal with the fact that you were diagnosed with epilepsy. Like at a young age, like what is going on in your head? It seems like something kind of lit a fire in you at that point, though. Like to get you to where you are now. So I want to ask you, like, but that's a young age to deal with that. I mean, not a lot of 9-year-olds are prepared mentally for that sort of thing. So what, walk me through kind of like what's your mindset like at that point, if you can remember, like.
Oh yeah. This is something I've talked about a lot, and I always am happy to discuss my epilepsy journey because, again, it's something that doesn't get talked about a
Right.
lot. So if I could bring awareness or make anyone feel like they're not going crazy and something's going on and that if someone else has gone through it, I'm happy to share.
Yeah.
And that was really a time for me when so much shifted.
Yeah.
Right. So you're 9 years old. Like you said, you're not really exposed to something that is life altering at that point.
Right.
And for me, I was a good student. I had lots of friends. I was swimming, and that's all that was what, life was at 9 years old.
Right.
And then being diagnosed with this, when I was diagnosed, they, after a few months, medication wasn't working. And I remember my parents and I going to the initial doctor I had, and he was just basically like, so nothing's working and things are just getting worse. And at this rate, with the information I know, if within the next year she's still able to be in a normal classroom, like with an aide, but like if she can even be in a normal classroom, like that's a win. But like I don't see that happening. And they basically made it sound like by the time I left elementary school, how much brain functionality to be in any kind of learning environment. Like no one really knew. And luckily I had parents who are doctors and work in the medical field going, okay, we're going to get a second opinion. But I also, around that time, because it was such a new thing, something kids didn't understand, I didn't understand, I was navigating it. But in the meantime, I was also losing friends. I started getting bullied. I started not being able to retain information or say things right, or like even learning was becoming difficult. So it was that point when we were sitting in that office, I was like, no, like I'm gonna fight. Like you're telling me this, but like that's not gonna be the outcome. Like that's
Right.
thank you, but no.
Yeah.
And so then my parents researched, they found the best neurologist, Dr. Wolf, that deals with children with epilepsy. And at the time he was based in Beth Israel. I know now he's in Boston at the Children's Hospital in Massachusetts. And we had a appointment with him. We talked to him, and within a month, my seizures were under control. And by the time I went into sixth grade, I wasn't having really seizures anymore. And by the time I was in seventh grade, I had been seizure free.
Oh.
And it was really something where, a few years prior, I was being told, we'll see what happens in the next year.
Right.
And it went to, oh, well, I don't have seizures anymore. And it's something that for a few years after that, you still have to be mindful of. You still have to know, what could potentially trigger this and that. It was something that I hadn't had seizures. I didn't, but it was really that pivotal time of understanding my own willpower, understanding how people can advocate for you, how you can advocate for yourself, and
Yeah.
just how, in the environment of people not understanding and not having information, children and adults could be way meaner than you could ever expect.
Right.
And so for me, I really think that was the time and that in my life, in those short, from 9 and around that time and a little older, that I was like, okay, how can I help others, not in any way, big or small, but also demonstrate that just because you look fine on the outside doesn't mean you don't have a story, a journey, or something's going on that people don't know. And I've been in many, many rooms where there has been epilepsy jokes made, things like that. And I've sat there, and because I'm very open with it, but when I entered college, for example, I was in a whole new state. No one from my high school went to this college, just because it was so hard to get into. And I remember sitting at a table with a bunch of my guy friends who were in the fraternity that I was the sweetheart in, and we're sitting, and these guys had known me for 2 years at this point. And someone makes an epilepsy joke. And there was one person at that table that knew I had had epilepsy at that point. And he started reaming into them. And they were like, "Why are you getting so upset?" And he goes, "It's the lack of knowledge you have and thinking that's an appropriate joke to make." And they're like, "Well, who's it harming?" And I looked at them and I go, "Do you know someone who has epilepsy?" And they're like, "And who has had it?" And they're like, "No one we know has it." And I go, "I had it." I go, "So you thinking that joke was so funny actually could hurt someone's feelings and you don't even know it." And so and then it was like a very quick change. So for me, it's how to teach people about it without shoving it down their throat, but also understanding that those moments in life really pushed me to understand how I can challenge myself and the power of going, "That's what you think. You think I'm not going to be able to get past elementary school or middle school, and I actually have a degree now in certification in every business area. I create completed a 2-year MBA program in 2 semesters and was the commencement speaker at my university, right? I've worked in all these things, but it's always been, okay, that's the thought process you have. That does not mean that's my thought process. And now watch me go do it."
So, like, I got to ask you too, when you're consulting with business owners or entrepreneurs, I think it's a similar kind of parallel idea that they're fighting within themselves from their past, right? So whether it was people who told you couldn't do it, or you got picked on, or you had some issues when you were a kid, or maybe it was a lack of parenting or no parents, or like, is that a commonality where you really, when you talk to someone, you have to consult with them? Do you have to really dig into those sort of deep emotional, I guess, barriers or problems to help them see what they could become? Do you kind of see where that's there's a process there with that?
There is. And sometimes too, it's going, "Okay, well, why are you giving me pushback?" Or why sit, one thing I really do with my clients is, to me, you're not a client. You're going to turn into a friend, someone who can call me in when your hard times go. And that's why my athletes, I've been out of the professional sports world for, quite a few years at this point. But some of my best friends are former pro athletes. Some are current athletes still, and they joke, they're like, "You're never gonna be not managing us. Like, when we need something, you're the one we're gonna go to." And it's because I sit down and it isn't, "Okay, we're just gonna have this call and we're gonna get these tasks done." It's like, "Tell me about who you are. Tell me about your journey so that I can understand your thought process." Because part of that too is not just understanding one's thought process, but understanding what shapes the decisions they make and how they best communicate their ideas or how they're going to sit and listen to those ideas. So, do I have to word things differently? Do I have to sit there? And I've gotten calls from clients, who just want to call one day because now they're going through a divorce. And all that's going to shape how you show up professionally, how you're going to run your organization, how, you might wake up and go, "Okay, I'm having really this bad day with my illness. How am I going to communicate that, especially if I don't want to share what's going on personally, that I can still show up? How And so for me, it's really about learning who the individual is, sitting back and listening and really absorbing not just what they're telling me, body language, as well as I'm not going to ever tell you right off the bat without weeks of researching a podcast or learning about your processes or procedures or having calls with you, how to change anything. I'm going to do research. And if I'm coming in to consult with your organization on team development or processes and procedures to put new ones in place, any of that, I'm going to see what you already have in place and understand what led you to those decisions. And is there information I'm missing? Because that's a big piece of it. You know, look at process and procedures we write for as a business owner sometimes, or a lack of them. And it's because we know how to do it and we're too busy growing an organization, a company, to sit back and go, okay, well, when the time comes that I need to bring someone on, I need a you know, as I call it, the dummies guide. If someone's never done the role, and it's a computer task, I want every task written down from turning on your computer and what button to hit to closing that document. Because then someone could actually do it and you can train someone. But so many times, processes or procedures are not written when they're created. And then oh, I know how to do it. And I know what is expected of the person who's going to fill that role. But then I can't communicate because I'm too busy. So they're going to have to figure it out. And when errors come, well, now we're having issues because this isn't being delivered. But there's steps they were missing because it's in your head and not on a paper. So it's really too sitting down and going, tell me about you. Tell me about all these things we can connect on. And so I can really understand who you are as a person. And through that, there is a sense of, you know, my friends and family joke of like a little bit of therapy throughout times, accountability. It's that other person that is going to go, okay, Ryan, you did that wrong. Like, or this wasn't delivered on time. We wrote this goal down. Why wasn't this delivered? And sometimes you just need that, but sometimes you also need someone to sit there and just listen and go, okay, this makes sense. And here's a third perspective from someone who's not even involved in the situation on how to fix it or come together and communicate and express what person A and person B are trying to say.
So as we kind of wrap this up, Olivia, I want to ask you, like, what are some of the biggest problems you see in consulting, business owners and entrepreneurs? Like, I know there's, it seems to me like a lot of what I hear and feel is fear, worry, anxiety, imposter syndrome, not believing in yourself or not believing your ideas are good. I think I feel that sometimes. I think we fight ourselves, right? So, like, can you give us a story or maybe a situation where you've worked through that with somebody and kind of explain some of those issues?
So the biggest thing I do is ask questions. And I think that is one of the biggest things that as an entrepreneur, no matter the framework, gets in a lot of people's ways, whether it's questions about processes or procedures, or I get a lot of people who come to me, for example, and they go, okay, this is great. We need this. And then when it gets time to like actually do it, it's like, okay, oh wait, we're gonna take our foot off the gas. We're gonna hit the brakes. We're just not, we're it's not the right time. This is going on, you know, A, B, C, or D, right? All of a sudden, it's the fear, the am I making the right decision for this moment in time? The not just the fear, but like the possibility of regret of making whatever decision. But I then sit down and remind them, you're gonna make the best decision with the most information in front of you. Like, this is the information we have. This is the guarantee. By not making a decision and putting yourself on the break, you've made a decision. You're going to keep doing exactly what you're doing, and you already know the result of that.
Right.
So, like, what is the harm on moving forward with this? Because if you don't, we already know the answer. If you do and it doesn't work out, well, we already know where you could go right back to where you are.
Right.
And so I think a lot of it is like navigating that sense of like putting your foot on the gas and like going full steam ahead, but also making sure that the information you have in front of you is accurate and is really, you're actually making a decision based on that information, not of anything else. And one way I tell entrepreneurs and people, you know, managers and different people to think about it is like, if you were consulting yourself, if Ryan was consulting me and I had this problem, and Ryan, you know, you as Ryan have no skin in my game right now. What would be the advice you would give me based on this information?
I tell you to go for it because it's not me. I'm not in your shoes, right? Yeah.
Right. But you looked at the information
right.
And you said the best path forward is to go with it.
Yeah.
Or the best path forward is to go with it, but not in this way, in way B.
Yeah.
And so when you've made that decision as the third party where you've taken all feelings out of it, that's a very clear mind to have.
Yeah.
So sometimes we have to give ourselves scenarios to go, okay, if I wasn't Ryan and it wasn't my business and my friend Olivia actually came to me and said, this is the problem I'm having with the organization, or is podcasting the right path to go down? I really want to do it. This is how we can promote. We come up with the whole process. And then you go, no. Well, why are we saying no? Is it because of the fear, the possible regret, all these things? Or is it because it's honestly not the right decision? So when you put it as a scenario base and put it in that third form, it helps you create some of that clarity.
Yeah. That's great. Well, this has been an awesome conversation, Olivia. I hope we can have more. Where can people find out more about you and Achieving Success? Where can they get your book? And then, of course, you know, where can they listen to your podcast? So give us the whole nine yards on that.
So you can listen to my podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts. We also do record video when we record, so you can watch it on YouTube by searching Achieving Success with Olivia Akin on any of the platforms. You can connect with me on LinkedIn by searching Olivia Akin or the Achieving Success LLC LinkedIn. You can also go to my website, achieving-success.com, and go through there and you can reach out via that. Or if you wanted to reach out, you can also email me at olivia.akin@achieving-success.com. I personally answer every message, email, call that comes through. It might take me a day or two to get back to you, but I do get back to every single person.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Olivia, so much. It's been a good conversation. And if you are listening to this and you want to get to know Olivia more and what she can do to help you, she has a lot of knowledge when it comes to, and I talk to a lot of business owners too, Olivia, and I tell them all, you should really start a podcast. Start a podcast about your brand. If you're a franchise, start a podcast about your business, because it makes you an expert, which is really what you are, right? Even if you don't believe you are that. So reach out to Olivia. Thanks again, Olivia. It's been awesome. I look forward to talking to you more, and good luck with everything coming up, okay?
Thank you.
Did you enjoy this episode? I hope so. If you want to support the podcast, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/Ryan Says Thanks. Your support is appreciated. And hey, even if you don't buy me a coffee, I'm happy to have you listening. So keep it up, and thanks again.